Hello. Do not attempt to skip this song. Any other movement will disrupt the force that is now about to enter your bloodstream. That force is known as the funk.
All right, then.
Hot action.
Definitely managed to get three very different albums in this week's selection.
Drumming Balls, episode 315, I think. I'm Doc Espezzo. We've reviewed new albums. And that's it. That's the conceit of the podcast.
Okay. See you next week then.
Oh, you don't want to talk about them?
Yeah.
Where do you want to start this week?
Let's go heavy to light. Let's go power.
Okay. Adrian Quesada then. Should we talk about the Nova Twins? Well, I was hoping for Bob Villain, and I got Nicki Minaj. This sucked. I was thinking this is gonna fucking rule. And I'm gonna blame the Guardian because I got sucked in by the interview, and I remember it was the same way. You know, I saw a great interview with Bob Villain where they talked about, you know, all the things that, you know, how they ran themselves and how they operated and how, you know, their philosophy. And I thought, these guys fucking rule. And I've already heard a few of their tracks and I picked it. And that album is going to be one of their albums of the year, somewhere in that fucking pointy end. And The Guardian did a similar kind of write-up on this. It's like Skunk and Nancy, but without all the teeth. It's just, you know, a whole bunch of new metal guitars and a whole lot of bad bitch posturing. You know, they can't write songs that are particularly interesting. It was just stick random fucking Cardi B, Nicki Minaj fucking lyrics about how fucking bad a bitch you are against some terrible fucking new metal riffs, and there you go. Enjoy. What did you think, Beezer?
Yeah, I can't say I really gave it enough time to explore the fullness of the lyrics. I was just like, new metal bullshit. Pass on this as a viable album.
New metal plus shitty electronics, like shitty beats, like fucking my first MPC kind of.
That, and that's the thing, like it's not that hard to. Okay, so I listened to a pod this week about a movie that had, strangely enough, because I love party movies. I think party movies are very cool because it allows you to do needle drops and music and all that stupid
and
shit.
And lots of different stories, yeah. So by party movie, you mean like A Dazed and Confused or like Go?
Go is probably my top standard. So I did
Go
not
is
know.
Such a good fucking movie. Tell the kids about how good the movie Go is. It's a great movie. Best Christmas movie
And an amazing cast, yeah. Really good interlocking storylines.
Great
and again,
music.
Their use of music is just fucking fantastic.
Katie Holmes, anyway, incredibly hot.
I did not know that Corey Worthington's Melbourne Party, our Corey Worthington.
Yes. I'm not going to take my sunglasses off. I'm going to apologise, but I'm not going to take my sunglasses off. That Corey Worthington.
Yeah, yeah. He inspired a movie called Project X, and I was just like,
The shoot 'em up from the Amiga from 1993.
No.
It's a tremendous. If you ever look up the Project X, it has a tremendous fucking rave era big beat soundtrack in a way that you did not expect it to.
And the big song from that, which is the song they use in the trailer, and you can find the drop of it, like the little scene of it on YouTube, is Kid Cudi's Pursuit of Happiness, which is not an amazing song, but you can write a pretty good electronic song, right, with some fucking dope ass use of that equipment, and it is a killer beat. I don't know whether the song, like his lyrics and his singing, though if you listen to some of his other songs which are auto-tuned to fuck, his raw voice is way better than his auto-tuned voice, but it's just like, it shouldn't be this hard, right? It shouldn't be this hard to use electronic music in a good way, I guess, is what I'm trying to say with this extended story.
Yeah, but what if you're American? Because what I've discovered is the Americans don't know how to do this shit. And at their best, all they can do is what Britain did. I mean, what's the best American EDM album we've heard in a long time? Crystal Method. Were they doing? Yeah. Prodigy covers.
Mm. Yep.
Anyway, the Nova Twins are English and they did a bad job. So, you know, you can't win them all. Good luck to them, but, you know, there was nothing interesting in this album. It was just so boring. And I might be grading on a curve because I was kind of expecting something and I did not get it.
Yeah, if you were, like, I can understand if you were coming from it thinking that you were going to get even 80% of Bob Villain and you got that, you would be extremely let down.
It's not horrendous. It just doesn't do anything that's particularly interesting or valuable. So it's basically our podcast.
So the Kalen Ellis album.
You say album. It was 22 minutes long. I mean, it was like 15 tracks, but it was 22 minutes. It was like, my question with this, was this an album of bits or was this bits of an album? It was all kind of tiny little shards of songs. It was almost like a rack of Dulux colour pots or, you know, it was a sample selection. It was like a book of carpet samples. I didn't feel like he'd... Well, maybe it was, you know, it was kind of a perfect ADHD album. It was like, you know, I've had this idea, I've just got enough of this idea out, and I'm going to move on to the next idea. But I don't really feel like he ever properly resolved any of the concepts that he put forward. It was almost like, these are all samples I'm going to put forward to potential buyers of my production art. If you're interested in any of these ideas, please contact me and we can run something up for you.
So I was reading a little bit about the Black Keys this afternoon, right? And how
they're old.
Like in their early days, they really stuck to the aesthetic of recording in their own, you know, sort of basement studio. And
remember the quote from their line of notes, their patented combination of half hot ass shit and half broke ass shit. So basically all their half equipment was busted and that's how they got the sound they wanted.
Which was, you know, Coolism loved that shit as well.
And they were basically cosplaying as Sun House or any of those fucking old Delta bluesmen. So the whole idea was that they were two white kids from Akron, Ohio, who were obsessed with the blues there was an element of cosplay there. And then they've kind of, over the years, they've developed their own feel for who they are and what they are, but it's still informed by where they came from.
So this to me felt like a COVID working from home. I'm sitting in my office and I've got, you know, people are going to send me shit and I'll spend an hour a day just chopping it up into an album. Like, it really felt a bit afterthoughtish. Like, it wasn't his full focus. You know, he was working on an album. He was writing beats for someone else and then every now and again he'd say, oh, I'll just pull up that, you know, that side project that I've got going. It just had this real incomplete feel to it.
The songs were incomplete and the concept overall was incomplete. Like it wasn't resolved. Like it wasn't resolved as an end-to-end concept. Having said that, it was probably the best listening experience of the week.
Oh, okay. I enjoyed the Adrian Quesadilla album way more to listen to.
You've turned into a Mexican menu item.
Look, I gave myself a whole backstory with this album.
So. I understood. Look, I think the Adrian Quesada album was better resolved. I just was not interested in the fucking Latin slow dance remit of it. Like, it was like, okay, you've clearly committed to this. I'm not interested in it, but, you know, keep doing it until you're finished and then I'll turn it off and I'll listen to it again. But I mean, it was certainly more coherent than anything else this week, but it was not coherent in a way that I was interested in.
So I definitely get that feeling. I understand where you're coming from. And I sort of got three tracks into this album and was starting to get that feeling. Like, it's just a little bit too romantic, I think, for my
It's 60s Latin love songs and slow dances. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's the whole remit.
So
it's not exactly. There's not a lot of psicodelicos. It was completely.
Nah.
We were oversold the psicodelicos. A lot of boleros and not a lot of psicodelicos.
So I created myself a little backstory for it to make it more enjoyable, and it did actually make it more enjoyable. If Edgar Wright decided to make like almost like a pastiche of a Zorro movie, you know, like fully romantic, Latin flavored, but, you know, a bit over the top, and then he got this dude to write the soundtrack for it. That's what I think this album is.
And then he got Kevin Spacey to star in it like he did with that fucking...
Baby Driver.
The infant toddler driver.
So now I actually want Edgar Wright to make that movie with this as the soundtrack so it could fit my narrative if you're not doing anything this week, Edgar. That'd be so great.
You had to imagine a reason to make this album interesting.
No, I think...
What did you say that this was... It was like Bunta Vista Social Club? What was the phrase that you used?
I
think Bunta Vista is a podcast from a bunch of drunks, including Lucy Valentine and Ben McClay.
I think what they were trying to say was this album was going to expose a part of Latin music to more popular areas because... You know, Black Pumas are a bit more of a popular band, but I don't know whether I think this is a pretty niche album. Will remain a pretty niche album. So.
I think this is niche on niche. I know that this is going to. This felt like a little side project from a side project kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear any of this ever again, and I'm quite happy about that. It was that kind of week. Do you have anything further to say in your defence?
No, not really. Are we going to do the new Spacey Jane album?
Why?
I can't remember. Did we not like the first one?
No. It was terrible media. It was that kind of mediocre Triple J.
I was trying to remember there was one that we
I mean, you're more than welcome to. You ever pick in your pocket, you can spend on it. But, I could write my review now. I'll be interested to hear what they sound like when they grow a pube will be my reaction.
That's right. They were the darlings of one of the hottest 100, weren't they?
Oh, they're always the darlings. But it's the same kind of... You can interchange the names, but there's that this generation of kind of insipid, yacht-rocky, limp, dismal, gormless indie pop that is more pop than indie that the children have visited upon us. And that's why we're disappointed in them as a generation.
All right. Well, what are you going to go with?
Spacey Jane. No. God, no. Well, I figured because you'd started talking first, you would actually pick something.
No, I had a couple of other things, but I don't want to go too much in the same direction, I think.
Well, that's obscure. What does that mean?
All right. Let's go with Little Boots, Tomorrow's Yesterday's.
Well, what's that about?
I have no idea. It's on my list, though.
Can't you do better than that? We have a podcast to fill.
It's a disco album. There you go.
Yeah, well, Little Boots.
Little Boots. She looks like she's a country music singer, which is a little bit disturbing.
Oh, so. Good.
Country disco?
Like Little Nas X.
She's only got 300,000 monthly listeners.
Oh, is that all?
Fans also like Lady Hawk and LaRue, so...
Recent LaRue or old LaRue when she had
there should be an asterisk next to it.
Yes, like LaRue brackets 2016 to 2020 or something.
Sounds like Red Hot Chili Peppers. Which Red Hot Chili Peppers are we talking
1985
about?
1985 to 1999 or?
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to go with. A Little Boots.
Little Boots. Little Boots. Toddler shoes. Is this where I talk?
This is where you throw some Norwegian.
This is where I always get blamed for the Norwegian. If you want some Norwegian shit, I can pick some. Don't fucking challenge me, son. This is where I probably should have made a decision earlier than this. I'm going to throw in a bit of a random one called Oceanator, which is a basically one chick from New York, I think. I haven't done a research on this one, but she had a really interesting track. Writes her own stuff. Does things. It was a Joker that I decided to pick as a fucking actual album. So there's that. I'm going to pick Oceanator as my album of the week. I am not phoning this in.
What do you got for the Joker?
Well, here's the thing. I thought I might get the Joker, and I thought, well... Save your fucking... I have a couple of legacy acts that I thought needed to get played, and I thought I'll save them for the Joker.
We're not doing Nick Cave, are we?
No, we'll do the Black Seeds. A bit of barbecue reggae. A bit of barbecue reggae for you.
I didn't even know. How did that not... not come up in my in any of my fucking algorithms. Spotify, what the fuck are you doing?
Because you're racist, mate. You're racist against South Africans.
Yeah. So the Black Keys have got an album. I mean, mentally you could flip them and this would be the safe pick and Oceanada would be the joker, but I have a feeling this will be a lame pastiche of stuff they did before, but, you know, I get the feeling that the black seeds are reliable in a way that Fat Freddy's aren't, in that they're going to do the same album forever. Whereas Fat Freddy's might be a little bit more up.
Fat Freddy's want to explore a little bit
they're
more.
They're a little bit more up and down in terms of the quality of their output.
Yeah. Yeah, to bring it back to sort of NBA teams, you know, Fat Freddy's a high draft pick, high ceiling, low floor, and the Black Seeds are like your middle of the draft, 24-year-old, you know.
Black Seeds are the Atlanta, Indiana Pacers. You know exactly where they're going to finish every year.
That's right. All right, Doc. Well, it was a week of different music.
It was a week.
It was a week.
It was a week with an A in it.
Look, I didn't mind that Latin album. I thought it was okay.
Oh, whatever.
Not great, but it was okay.
It was a short week, and I appreciated it because, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely not a week to have you know, me say on Friday afternoon, hey, I can't do the pod this week. We've got to stick with these albums.
No, last week would have been fine for that, but this week wasn't.
Yeah.
And part of that's my fault, because who picked the first album we picked last week was, I'm going to pick the Nova Twins because the fucking Guardian told me to.
Yeah, well, like if you equaled it outright and you picked Bob Villain and this album, you'd still come out of the end of the year pretty fucking happy.
Yeah, because the shit ones you forget really quick.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we don't do a bottom five of the year. We don't back and re-listen to all of them going, yeah, this one the worst.
Let's tier them. They'll just become like, this is definitely the bottom in the S-band. It's just in the grease trap at the bottom of the sink. This is where all these albums. And to be fair, the Nova Twins album isn't that bad. It's just not any good.
Yeah, it's not as promised, I guess.
It's not interesting. It's just not interesting. It's shitty pop masquerading as something more interesting than that. So, anyway, folks, we've already had that discussion, so we're not going to have any further discussions. You go about your business. We're going to go about ours. Bezo's going to go and drink some more whiskey and fall asleep face down in a bucket of slop. I then have to go up and have a run tomorrow morning. That poor bastard.
You know me too well. All right. See you, Doc.
Trip.
Got to put that in my joker list, even though you told me about it, but I still got to put it in my joker list. Oh, the Troy Kingy.
Yeah, the Toreo version of his old album. Done this. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, he just did it for Matariki, because that's actually been a big thing. They for the first time this year, there was a public holiday for, I suppose you could call it Māori New Year, but it's kind of, it's more when the basic Pleiades, the constellation, that kind of star cluster, it's when it rises, because for a couple of months it disappears over the horizon and then it rises in the middle of winter, and it was kind of a signifier to Māori of you know, time for the winter harvest and, you know, new life and all that kind of stuff. So it's been enshrined this year as a public holiday, and that was why Troy Kingy was doing the Toreo version of that album, was in order to get it out in time for Matariki. It's the first, like, traditional Māori celebration that's been turned into a secular holiday for the whole country, which is actually kind of cool.
I tried to look this up. The other thing that Latin album reminded me of was on one of the magazines that I used to regularly buy in the 90s. I can't remember. What were the music magazines been in the 90s that I would have? No, music magazines that I would have bought in the 90s.
I saw somebody playing a flute on that one.
It wasn't Rolling Stone. There was a, Was it Juice? Wouldn't it be Juice?
Juice was a music album. I remember the Australian ones because I get it confused with the New Zealand ones. Like Real Groove and Rip It Up with the New Zealand ones.
But one of the years there was they got a whole bunch of reasonably well-known bands to do lounge covers of their songs.
That was really big in the 90s, though. Remember that? With fucking, was it Frank Bennett? The guy who used to do covers of because they played infamous, like, I think the 95 or 96 Hottest 100. Was it the year that Creep? No, it must have been the year that Wonderwall. It was the year that Wonderwall got number one. They played the Frank Bennett version instead of the actual version. And then they played the actual version.
Oh, there you go. It's not that one. This one had a green cover, but I own this one as well. Because for some reason I got into listening to like lounge covers. Had this green cover on it. Anyway, that album reminded me a little bit of this one.
Lounge cover sounds like something that your grandma puts over her couch to stop you from getting stains on it. Don't shit on the couch.
And I own this one as too. Ultra Lounge by various artists. Capital Music had a leopard print, actual leopard, sort of fake leopard print cover on it.
So it looked like a Boomer Trophy wife going to the shops.
Of course.
Down at fucking Pacific Fair.
Where's the song? Where's my track list? You can buy it for $44 if you want.
Christ.
An actual CD for $44.
You can buy an actual lounge for $44. I got dragged around the op shops by the young bloke who's for some reason, he's been indoctrinated into op shop hunting by his pop, by my dad. It's his birthday weekend. So what do you want to do today? He said, oh, if we go to the op shops, I'm like, fine. So I think he was looking for like cheap electronics and stuff, but there wasn't a lot about. But there were definitely catches there for $44 we could have had. So lounge music or a lounge.
Oh, here we go. Nah, this is definitely not the one I wanted. This was all actual lounge bands. The one I was lounge music covers. That's going to piss me off now until I find out what it was. Anyway, things that you fucking get in your head and you can't get rid of.
Well, also the stuff that was prominent when in period that you cannot find anymore, and if it doesn't exist on the internet, it never existed. That's the thing. You're like, I'm sure this existed, but you search for it and you can't find it.
No, that's
it. Just didn't leave an imprint that's been recorded by the internet.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, did I hallucinate that, or did it actually exist? All right, I'll throw this up now, Doc.
Cheers, man. You have a good weekend.
You too. See you, man.
Ta-ra.